I was born bold.
Summer breakfast. Thanks for being with us on Summer Breakfast. Gary and Tim back on January the 27th for those listening in Melbourne. For those on SEN SA, Kane and Hazy back in business on January the 18th. But Dal and I are here for the next couple of weeks, and you can join us at any stage, 1300 736 736. We've been following along closely here on this show what's going on with the Australian Open, from the concept of a later date through to the situation involving accommodations and any sort of restrictions or any sort of rules that are involved when it comes to the Australian Open. But no one knows it more than Brett Phillips, our number one man. Thanks to Sunbless Sunscreens, a sunscreen designed specifically for cricket, golf, tennis and lawn bowls, at sunblesssunscreens.com.au. BP, good morning. Thanks for being with us. And it feels like every day there's a new stumbling block in the lead up to the Australian Open.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it, Jack? Dale, good morning, guys. You just don't know quite what's around the corner with the tennis. We're hearing the news about the Grand Prix and this whole pandemic. I mean, I've got to turn the news service off. Lucky we've got SEN and we can talk some sport, to be totally frank, because to be caught up in this, what's going on around the world with COVID-19 just does your head in, to be totally honest. So, look, fingers crossed it. You know, it can all still go to plan, but, you know, in the next 3 to 4 weeks, who knows what is going to unfold. But the players are going to be here very, very soon, within the next, week to 10 days.
BP, it is obviously a huge month lead-in, and normally there's a lot of tournaments around Australia that they use as their warm-ups, getting ready for the Aussie Open. Without the amount of on-court time for some of the best players, would we expect it to be at the same level as they enter a new year, if it all goes to plan?
Well, it's always the toughest one for a lot of players, Nick, you know, the Australian Open, and then the summer. There are some who, you want to, the incentive is a Grand Slam, and and the players want to be here. I think if the season didn't start with a Grand Slam, I think you'd find a lot of players, a bit like, you know, players who miss a fair bit of pre-season might start their season later in footy. I think that'd be the same in tennis, but because you hit the ground running with a slam, you've sort of got to get yourself right because of the, what's up for grabs. I mean, the tour's going to start this week. Abu Dhabi for the women, Delray Beach for the men. There's an event in Turkey as well. So there's some playing opportunities. But, you know, I think Andy Murray's is an interesting one on that note. Mm. I mean, he's played such little tennis in the last 2 years. I mean, that hip has just been an absolute nightmare for him. And credit to his mental fortitude that he's been able to fight through that and still wants to get out and compete. Now, he's pulled out of Delray Beach more so from a health perspective, travelling from the UK to Florida. But there's got to be some doubt on maybe him for the Australian Open. He'd be a little bit undercooked. I mean, to come into a slam, even as someone as good as Murray, I think that's going to be an interesting story to watch. And Kaney Shikori is the other one who's, you know, been obviously top 10 and a Grand Slam finalist. Some of these guys have played very little tennis. And as we learnt with Roger Federer, you just can't come into a slam, 50, 60, 70% fit.
How do we take form lines into this Australian Open, BP? Or is it impossible? Do we just, is it almost like natural ability and a little bit of luck is going to win this tournament?
Well, I think, you know, certainly they're two different conversations, and they have been for a while, Jack. I mean, the men's, you always start with Djokovic and Nadal because they have just been so good for so long. Dominic Thiem has made noise winning a slam last year and would have won the Australian Open probably if he wasn't playing Djokovic. He led him 2-1. You know, I think the next gen pack, Medvedev and Rublev, the two young Russians inside the top 10, are genuinely thinking they can, you know, really break through at the top level, the Grand Slam level, Tsitsipas. When there's a really good batch of guys inside the top 10, that's where I don't stretch it probably any further than the guys inside that area because of how good they've been and how good the next crop has been. It's elevated them ahead of the next gen. That's Dimonor and Shapovalov and Felix Auger-Aliassime, a couple of young Canadians amongst that trio. The women's is always a wide-open discussion, and it's exciting in a way because we don't have any sort of predictability. I mean, Ash Barty comes back, but who knows how she's going to go? I mean, she has not played tennis since February of last year. We just don't know where she's going to quite land. And the women's field is competitive. There's a lot of hungry players out there who want to win. They believe they can win. They all believe they can beat Serena Williams now, which has been a tough task in tennis. At nearly 40 years of age, she, you know, hasn't got that aura and invincibility about her. So, I think it's the usual suspects on the men's, women's, throw a blanket and see where they land.
BP, in the last week, we've been fortunate enough to speak to Mark Polmans and Tanasi Kokkinakis. How good is it for Australian tennis that they get a wild card entry?
Yeah, it's one of the advantages, Dale, no doubt, of being a Grand Slam nation. And this is where our Aussies have got to take hold of that and grab it with both arms. Now, normally, right now, they'd be in Brisbane or they'd be playing other tournaments within Australia. You know, Sydney, Perth, example. It's a great time for the Aussie players. They would have normally come off of December where they're here in the sunshine and preparing. They don't have to leave their own backyard and travel halfway across the world. So they haven't got that scenario this time. Obviously, a lot having to travel to the Middle East for qualifying next week. But yeah, with Kokkinakis, I really hope he can just get 12 months at it. And that's been the issue. I mean, his body has just let him down so much. Glandular fever 12 months ago. If he can get a run at it, I have no doubt he is probably the most talented of all the young guys that we have, and that's Demon Orr. I think he's even more talented than Kyrgios, to be quite frank. But we just need to see him play 12 months of continuous tennis. It'd be nice. He's a good guy. He deserves a break. And let's hope that comes his way.
Just before we let you go, BP, the fan experience for the Australian Open, what does that look like at the moment? There'd be a lot of people listening this morning who are thinking about going or maybe just want to sit back and see over the next week or two what it all looks like. What are some of the rules in place at the moment?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, you guys touched on it earlier. They've had to sort of separate Melbourne Park, the whole precinct, into three areas. So if you buy a ticket for Rod Laver Arena, you can only go to the matches on Rod Laver, and you'll be only able to go out sort of onto Grand Slam Oval. It'll be fenced off there. If you've got tickets to John Cain Arena, you'll be able to go there, and some of the outside courts and Margaret Court Arena, which we know sort of backs onto those outside courts heading towards the city. So you'll only be able to go in those designated areas. So spectators are going to have to choose what they want to see, basically. And in that week leading up to the Australian Open, we still haven't had tickets revealed what exactly those tournaments are going to look like. We know there's going to be five events at Melbourne Park. So either you're going to choose to go see the men's events or the women's events, depending on what area you get a ticket in. So at the moment, I think tickets have sold pretty well. It's still at that 25%, but as we saw with the SCG test, I mean, 10,000. Who knows where we're going to land with the Australian Open in 3 weeks' time and whether more tickets will be released. But I think a lot of those have been exhausted so far.
It is crazy how this continues to move. The other one I want to ask you about is Roger Federer, who's not coming to Melbourne Park this year for those injury concerns of being underdone. In your opinion, will we see him out here again? Do we get one more glimpse of the great man?
Well, I'm just putting the hand on my heart now, Dale, and I'm going, come on, Roger, let's get you here in 12 months' time because we want to bid you a proper farewell. I think it'll be one of the saddest days in sport when Roger Federer does hang up the racket, along with, you know, many great sports stars of the past that we just can't say a bad word about, has never been involved in scandal unless something comes out in 20 years' time. I can't see it happening, to be totally honest, but If he can get back, and he's probably going to come back at Rotterdam, which will be the start of March, ATP 500. Wimbledon, he definitely wants to play. Olympics, a US Open. If he can stay healthy, just playing those selected tournaments, it'll be great to see him here at the age of 40 in 12 months' time to at least see him in the flesh one more time. But, yeah, it's interesting because he hasn't announced a farewell of any sort. He just wants to get back and play, and he still loves, you know, the lifestyle of tennis. So, yeah, fingers crossed, Dale, we do get him back. He's still, you know, he's still pretty durable for, even though he's had his couple of setbacks, he's still in pretty decent nick at 39.
Hey, hopefully there's one more final chapter to come in this story, and hopefully it's a good one. BP, as always, love having you on the show. Love hearing from you, as always. Thank you for your time.
Love listening to you guys. I tell you what, you brighten up my day. It's magnificent.
What about this mutual love society we've got going on here this morning? Sensational. Brett Phillips joining us with thanks to sunblesssunscreens.com.au. Different sunscreens for different sports, cricket, golf, tennis, bowls, you name it, it's all there at sunblesssunscreens.com.au. After this, we unveil the first member of the Summer Flyers squad. I've never known anyone to be more excited on the group text than Nick Del Santo yesterday when he said, boys, I've got the first one.
Dylan Shield. Oh, what's a Dylan Shield? I've got a new one for you.
It's coming up next. Summer Breakfast.